Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." It really is amazing that Sunday after Sunday, we can stand up here and 500 or more people will come and listen to us speak. It's really amazing because I don't feel I have that much to say, really, as man. But I know that's not why you come here, is it? Just to hear Jim Wright or Mark Elliott talk to you. You come because you want to hear from your true shepherd, Jesus Christ. This is Good Shepherd Sunday when we think of Jesus' words, "My sheep listen to my voice." We have to recognize that the voice of Jesus is not some kind of inner voice that we meditate and wait for it to come to us. No, it's not from our inside that Jesus speaks to us, but it comes to us from the outside, an external voice. We do not follow our own feelings because our feelings often mislead us. I know a friend of mine some years ago told me, he's a pastor, he said, "Boy, I've just had it with people who think that God is talking to them directly." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, Saturday night, about 10 o'clock, I get a call from this lady, and she says that God told her not to teach Sunday school anymore." And I said to him, "Well, why didn't you tell her that you had a message from God that she was supposed to keep teaching Sunday school until she found a replacement for herself?" No, the voice of God, we do not trust that he is going to speak to us directly every time. He did speak to people in Bible times that way, but he doesn't promise to tell us messages. And if he did, we might question ourselves and think, "Is this God? Or did I take too much of my blood pressure medication?" Not an inner voice, but one from outside. One that has spoken. A voice that continues to speak. A voice that speaks to us through the written word of God. And we believe that when that good news is preached, that written word of God, that law which condemns us for our sins and brokenness, and that gospel which promises us forgiveness and great blessings, that is where we hear the voice of our good shepherd speaking to us. So many people don't know the blessing of hearing that external voice. How do we know that? They never come to church, even though they may profess to be Christians. And that's where we hear that voice of our good shepherd, when we gather together to hear him speak through the scriptures. That's why God gave us the Sabbath command, to gather together. Take some time apart from your work. Take some time off so that God can talk with you. So we listen to our good shepherd. But today we got a big problem because people don't want to listen, do they? You know, we complain about our kids not listening. It's not that their auditory channels don't work. They hear the vibrations that we make with our mouths that travel through the air. But we complain because they don't put into practice what we ask them to do or tell them to do. They just kind of ignore it and go on. But it's not only kids. I mean, the police are always telling us, don't drive too fast. But you get out on the expressway and you do the speed limit and you count how many people are driving 10, 20 miles faster than you. People tell us, "Oh, well, take care of your health, you know, get regular exercise and eat the proper foods," but it's hard to put that into practice. We hear what they say, but to do it in our life is another thing. What about putting God's word into practice? Much more important than all these other things. God gave us the Ten Commandments, didn't he? And for those of us in this congregation, God gave us a time in our life when we were taught what those Ten Commands mean. From our parents, maybe from a school teacher, from our pastor when we were confirmed. We think of today, after the service, we have 17 young people come up and give witness that they have received that teaching of the Ten Commandments and the rest of the catechism. All of this investment in us, but if you hear God's word and do not put it into practice, by Jesus' definition here in our text today in John 10, you're not one of his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." And it's not just that they hear it through their auditory channels. "My sheep hear my voice," and something happens. They follow me. They follow me because they want to hear more. And what they believe that what Jesus the Good Shepherd is saying is right and true and more valuable than anything they could possess. And so they follow Jesus. Now it's bad if you miss out on his promises, because then this Sunday we remember, as we've just sung in this last hymn, how good our shepherd is. The Lord is our shepherd. And in the 23rd Psalm, he says some of the blessings there. "The Lord's my shepherd." What does that mean? Well, I shall not want. I'm going to be taken care of. It's never going to be a time where I won't have the things that I really need. Not necessarily the things that I desire, because I can desire lots of things. But the things I need for this life, God will provide. He himself has promised. He leads me to green pastures. Not necessarily the pastures where we see everybody else going today. Some of those have bad grass. Some of them have no grass. Nothing to sustain us. But the green pastures that God brings us to are the pastures that provide for what we really need, the sustenance of our souls. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, because the Lord goes with us. He doesn't tell us that his sheep will never go in dangerous places. But he says, "I will take care of you. I will protect you." And his rod and staff are always there to guard us and keep us. Then come some really beautiful messages there in that beautiful psalm. The Lord says to us, he prepares a banquet before us. A feast of victory, I think of in that psalm. And he anoints my head with oil as a chosen person, one of his chosen elect, to receive his salvation. My cup is always full of blessings, so full it's running over. I can't even count all the goodness that God is bringing to me. And who can forget those final closing words of that psalm? "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is where we want to be. This is God's blessing to us. But if we do not follow him, well, then you're on your own. But when we hear Jesus calling his sheep and follow him, he receives us. He is our good shepherd who lays down his life for us. His life, his death, his resurrection that we celebrate in this Easter season mean everything to us. Everything, because all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our regrets, all of that receives healing in that resurrected Jesus. And we are restored. John recounts in his letter of the revelation that someone came up to him when he had that vision of heaven and said, "Who are all these people standing around in these white robes?" And then that person said to him, "These are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed at Calvary and raised again on the third day." The blood of the Lamb. The Lamb who is also our Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows us. Doesn't it mean a lot when someone knows you personally? I know that when I was going through seminary, I felt like nobody, you know, professors, there were so many students, 300-400 students on campus, and they never knew who I was unless they had my picture out, you know, or the seating chart. And so sometimes I'd go back to seminary after I was a pastor, and you know, say hi to the professors. And I could see the wheels turning in their head, like, okay, now who are you and what class were you in and how long ago was that, you know. And later on sometime, I started taking some studies at the other seminary. And I noticed it was really strange because all of a sudden I'd walk down and these professors would say, oh, hello, Jim. And I'd think, how do you know me? I didn't really go to school here those many years. But it meant a lot to me that these men considered me like kind of like one of them because I was a pastor, a teacher of God's flock. Well, Jesus knows all his sheep. And that is really wonderful because he knows what you are like and he knows what your life is like. He knows all of the struggles that you go with in life, the things that tempt you the most. He knows your fears. He knows your joys. He knows your hopes and your aspirations. He knows your sins too, but he forgives them. I know them and they follow me, he says. You know, they say about 80% of our nation confesses they believe in God, but only about 20% go to church regularly. That's really a shame, isn't it? Many know the Lord, they profess to know him, but they don't follow him in that way. But when we do come to hear our shepherd, we come because we know that only he knows us so well. Only he can give us what we really need, and that is eternal life. That's so important, friends, because everything has its end. You know, it's a beautiful day today. It's springtime. People coming into church remarked how beautiful the weather is and how it felt like, you know, winter in Florida. But we're here in Illinois. This is our beautiful time. But we know that spring is going to have its end. It's going to get really hot soon. And then fall is going to come. We've got to go through winter again. Children are born, but they grow up so fast, don't they? You grandparents know about that. Even life has its end. I remember when I was young, my father said to me, he said, Jim, it seemed like one day I was a young man, and the next minute I'm an old man. Where did my life go? Now he's been with the Lord 11 years. But, you know, that whole life is just a moment in eternity. That eternity of the life that God has given to us, he has promised to us, and he will bring to fulfillment when he returns again to bring his sheep into that final pasture. So if you're wondering where your life is going, think of that eternal life that God has in store for you. That is the blessing, and that is the power that will help you through whatever you face in this life. Thinking ahead. But the best thing about it is, it's imperishable. What I mean by that is, your gift of eternal life, it can't be taken away from you. It can't be stolen away. Jesus said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. It's yours forever to keep, no matter what happens to you in life. But you can lose it. You can give it up. You can become so distracted by the other things in this world that you forget about it. Or something else becomes more important. No one can take it from you. But you can lose it when we forget the power, no longer listen to our good shepherd, and we serve the other gods. How can Jesus make statements like this? He has authority. He said to us, I and the Father are one, the Heavenly Father, that is. And if he says that, then he can certainly say that we are his flock, for he is our creator and a redeemer. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, he said, take special care of God's flock. I think he was talking to his associate pastors out there in Ephesus. He said, take care of their flock, but take care of yourselves also. We do that when we hear the voice of our good shepherd in the scriptures, and we follow it each day. For his word is precious, every word. May the good shepherd keep you in his grace and peace, give you strength to bear the crosses and trials that you have in this life, but keep your mind firmly set on that greener pasture, which is yet to come, that he has promised to each and every one of you when our life here is ended. Go in his peace. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.